Here is the president of hockey ops for the Calgary Flames, our friend Brian Burke. Hello, Berkey. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're hanging in. Happy with your team, the way they played the last little while? I would think so, huh?
Yes. We've worked hard. I like the group. They listen. We adapt in-game well. We make adjustments when we need to, and we work. So I like it.
Goaltending's pretty good. You're happy with your goaltending?
Yes. Obviously a nice story. David Rittich getting his first win the other day, but Mike Smith has been terrific.
You're not surprised by that in any way, shape, or form. Smith had the misfortune of playing with teams that weren't that good, but was always played pretty well. That was always my assessment of him. Yours?
Yes. Yeah, exactly right. We think he's an elite goaltender that played on four teams, and his statistics suffered accordingly. But the other thing he does that's really invaluable is how he handles the puck. Mm-hmm. He gets behind the net and stops the puck and moves it. And our D are not getting hit nearly as much or as hard or as often as they did a year ago. We're down over 100 hits on the top four defensemen over this stretch of the season.
So in your experience, we talk a lot about the importance of a goaltender. And it's not hard to quantify that. And there are statistics that will allow you to do that. But the intangible in this, in my opinion, is always the confidence that a team has in the goaltender and how they play accordingly if they have a goaltender in whom they trust. Explain that scenario as best you can. I assume you believe that there's some truism in that. Yes?
I think it's absolutely true. I think it's 100% true. When you don't trust your goaltender, the first thing you do is to stop taking offensive chances and your game suffers offensively. And then you're getting back. You're saying, well, we're not giving up that shot, so I'm going to get back. And all of a sudden your offense disappears. And it corrodes your whole game. It corrodes your confidence. And it corrodes your attack mentality. And there's no question about it. If you think the guy's going to stop the puck, you can take some chances you otherwise will not take.
Brian, the other story in Calgary that I think surprised a lot of people early in the season was the signing of Jaromír Jágr. And his role on this team, he's supposed to be on a line, I think, with Mark Jankowski and Sam Bennett. But would you suggest that his role might be bigger off the ice than on?
Well, he's been a real positive force on our team. He's a quality veteran. He's a very cheerful guy. He's positive. And, yes, I think he's been a positive influence for our players. I think it's getting overplayed a little bit with regard to Johnny Gaudreau. And everyone's saying that he's the reason Johnny's so focused. And there's no question Jaromír's been helpful to all of our young players. But I think that's unfair a little bit to Johnny. Johnny came in dialed in this year. He missed training camp last year. He had a poor start. And he came in dialed in like fighter pilot dialed in at the start of the year, long before we got Jaromír. So I think he has played a role. It has been beneficial. But I don't want to overplay that role and cost a player some of the credit that he should get for coming into camp dialed in.
I still do talk to my friend Talon down in Florida, and when Jágr was there, he told the story, and everybody knows it, about him having literally keys to the practice rink and showing up late at night and going on the ice for an hour, 2 hours, all by himself, sometimes getting up in the middle of the night. And he's like the ultimate rink rat. And I was mentioning to Damien, was on last week, and I was mentioning, I wonder if Jágr's doing the same thing in Calgary, and he indicated that the situation isn't quite the same. Do you guys not have a practice rink in Calgary?
We do not have a practice rink in Calgary. We skate at Winsport when we need to, or sometimes at the Corral over the last couple of years.
Right.
But we have a staff member who is on call. If Jaromír wants to skate in the middle of the night, a guy meets him at the rink and lets him in. He's done that several times.
Really? Huh? Yep. So it's still happening, right?
Yep.
How do you feel about that? Are you okay with it? I guess Jaromír doesn't want to draw attention to himself. I don't think he invites or wants any other players to go with him. But what do you think of that? Is that dedication?
Well, that's how a 45-year-old plays in this league, I think.
I guess, yeah.
His other workouts, other than these late-night sojourns out into the rink and things, his work ethic in the weight room and the other things he does is phenomenal too. So this guy is playing at 45 because he has done all the extra things you have to do to play at 45. And it's not like this is a low mileage body. You know, I don't know what that noise is, guys. Sorry. Not like it's a low mileage body. He's played a lot of international hockey. He's won Stanley Cups. He's played into June. Like, this is not a guy who's had an easy career in the league. He's played lots of games in lots of key situations. And this is what you have to do if you want to play until you're 45.
And if you go down your roster and the past the first line into Backlund's line, and you do end up thinking about how Sam Bennett is adapting, where would you suggest his game is right now, Brian?
Well, I think the focus on Sam is that he's not putting up any points. And that's true. And that's, you know, we drafted him as an offensive player. We think the points will come. We believe in Sam. But I think what happens when you're not scoring points is people disregard the other things you're doing that are good. Like, this guy hits, he kills penalties, he fights, takes faceoffs. So to me, the notion that, oh, he's a disaster because he's not putting up points, we love Sam. Like he's a great kid. He's carrying a little bit of a piano around on his back right now. But he's helping us win in other ways on the nights when he's not scoring. And that's the part that infuriates you when you hear the media talking about it and saying, oh, he hasn't done a thing. Well, he's done lots of things. He's just not putting up points.
The interesting thing about your hockey club is that, for the most part, your stars are young. Your key players are young, in their early 20s, maybe mid-20s in a couple of cases. Your blue line is more veteran and older. I know it's not necessarily by design, but that almost seems to be the perfect scenario. Do you agree?
Well, we've got a pretty young defense, too, compared to a lot of other teams in the league, but there's no question. You know, the guy that the little engine that drives this thing is Gio. Mark Giordano's
right.
He works as hard as any player I've ever had anywhere, and he's a great captain, and he's a great role model. So he kind of sets the tone for the group. But we think the way we've got right and left shots paired, picking up Travis Hamonic, putting Mike Stone in the five hole, we think we've got three pairs that work well together that can play in most situations. And most teams don't have that. Most teams are lucky to have two pairs. And some teams have one right shot defenseman. So we've put a lot of time and effort into building this defense with a certain look, a certain number of right shots and left shots, a certain complementary style of play, and we think it's bearing fruit now.
As a guy who's been involved at an executive level in both Eastern and Western conferences, do you find you build teams differently in the West versus the East now that there's an assumption that the East is faster?
Well, I'm not sure I agree with the East being faster. Certainly when we just went through the East and we didn't feel that. I think there's quality weapons on all the teams in the East that you have to worry about. Like the team we're playing tonight, they got lots of weapons. It's that simple. But I don't think it's any faster as a group. I think it's a little bigger out here. It's still maybe a little cruder, a little rougher, and been that way for a long time since some guy started that trend in Anaheim in 07. I forget his name. But still a little bigger out here, I think. But I'd say a little bit of difference that you have to have some size in your lineup.
I got to ask you this because it is an ongoing puzzle what this team down in Vegas is doing. And I assume you've observed this. Are you shocked by the way they play as well as they play, all things considered? I mean, this is an expansion team. This is not supposed to happen. And we are well beyond this is a fluke. They can, you know, we're a quarter of the way through the season, and they, you know, they keep playing well. They keep winning games. Give me an explanation.
Well, the number one flaw in that reasoning, Bob, would be that this is an expansion team. They're not supposed to play well. This is a team that got a much better roster than any expansion team in the history of the league. They should be better. They got access to more quality players than any team in prior history of the league.
Granted.
So they should be better. That's number one. Number two, they got a quality GM in George McPhee. This guy knows how to win.
Yep, he does.
And number three, their coach is excellent. He's an excellent coach, and he's really good with young players. And they got nothing to worry about. They just got to go play. There's no expectations. Everyone said they're going to be terrible. So they just got to play. And the coach is playing that song beautifully right now. Just go play, guys. go have fun.
But you would also acknowledge that while they did get a better, we acknowledge that they did get
so much of a better team, Bob, because there was only one team coming in too. I think that's a huge factor.
Yeah, and they got the rosters were less limited than what they had been in the past. But McPhee did make a lot of moves and has secured a lot of draft choices. And I talked to him on numerous occasions. John and I talked to him on this program on several occasions, and he was, you know, he wasn't lying to us. He figured it was going to take time, but he decided to build for the future and not commit to trying to do something that was probably impossible. Well, they're doing it. I mean, not only is the present team pretty good, their future looks very bright in terms of the stockpile of resources that they've accumulated. Berkey?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think George McPhee's done an excellent job. I think he picked a competitive team to start. He also managed to secure some long-term assets that will be vital to their success. But I also think there's still, and you're right, it's past the 10 games. Oh, isn't this nice? Mm-hmm. It's well past that. But at some point, this league is going to get tougher. Happens right around Christmas time. And then we'll see.
Yeah.
In bringing the word tougher into the conversation, where are you with the standard that the league has created with the stick fouls?
Well, I'm probably confused a little bit, like most people. I'm not sure what's a foul and what's not. But overall, I think the general managers, and I'm not a general manager anymore.
Nope.
I think the general managers overall, the consensus is it's working. It has reduced the amount of slashing to the hands. I'm still puzzled some nights when a call is made or isn't made. But overall, it's been an improvement. I think the GMs would agree.
Anything to report on the rink mess?
No, he's not allowed to talk about that. You're getting him in trouble.
I'm not getting him in trouble.
You're going to get him in trouble.
I'm asking him a question. I just said, is there anything new?
I don't want my friend Brian in trouble.
I've never gotten him in trouble before.
Nothing to report.